Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Adani Enterprises Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sabri Hazarika from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Emkay Global, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY27 post-earnings conference call of Adani Enterprises Limited. We have with us the senior management from the company, led by Mr. Robbie Singh, Chief Financial Officer, Adani Enterprises, Mr. Arun Bansal, Chief Executive Officer, Adani Airport Holdings, Mr. Rajesh Poddar, Chief Financial Officer, Adani Airport Holdings, Mr. Murali Krishnan, Chief Executive Officer, Adani New Industries Solar Manufacturing, Mr. Manan Vakharia, Head of Finance, Adani Enterprises, and Mr. Jitendra Khyalia, Investor Relations, Adani Enterprises. So today's session would be an update on the results and the outlook by the management, followed by the question-and-answer round. So now I request Mr. Robbie Singh for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Adani Enterprises earnings call. As you know, AEL's portfolio comprises primarily of core infrastructure-focused businesses spanning energy, utilities, transport, logistics, and primary industry. For our current quarter, our results are reflecting the discussions that we've had over the last 1 year on value unlock and various interactions over the year. The investments made over the last few years are now progressively moving from build-out phase to value realization phase. Over the next few quarters, there will be a clear pathway visible for accelerated value creation from our diversified portfolio of assets, primarily led by airports and roads. The focus has now shifted from establishing capabilities to maximizing returns, continuing ramp-up in operational performance, and increasing overall asset utilization. With the caveat in all of this being that we will continue to report historic CapEx numbers and one of the highest CapEx years of our business this year. We are well on track to achieving that. Moving to quarterly financial performance, all on consolidated basis. Total income increased to 33,546 crore. This was an increase of 50%. This is primarily driven by a reset that is happening in the business as our copper smelter is coming online. Highest quarterly EBITDA at 5,642 crore is an increase of 49%. Again, reflecting the businesses coming online plus specific price realization. Continuing profit before tax stands at 1,295. The establishing businesses EBITDA on Rajri rising on account of capacity ramp-up of our copper business. A certain project updates. We have signed a new contract in data centers for 400 megawatt, taking our total capacity to roughly 1 gigawatt. In the road business, the largest greenfield project of Ganga Expressway has been inaugurated and toll collections have begun in the middle of the quarter gone by. We expect the ramp-up to complete over the 6 to 9 months for the road to be operating at full capacity. We've added another BOT road project of 620 odd lane kilometers. A capital market, and we also like to thank all of you plus investors on this aspect, which is we did the largest QIP of 15,000 crore of any non-financial corporate. This was about 4 times oversubscribed. Again, I take the opportunity to thank you and all investors who participated. This was very well received, and we are pleased to see the continuing diversity in our shareholder register. I'm pleased to introduce some of our business CEOs, and we'll continue this trend of progressively bringing our CEOs who run our businesses on basis of which all these results are possible. Today, we have Arun Bansal, CEO of Adani Airports, and for the first time, Murali, who's CEO of Adani Solar, and they will take you through their respective businesses. First, I hand over the call to Arun, CEO of Adani Airports. Over to you, Arun.
Thank you, Robbie. Good evening, everyone, and very welcome to this investor call. Adani Airports is one of India's largest private airport platforms, operating a portfolio of 8 operating airports, contributing approximately 23% of India's passenger traffic and 29% of country's air cargo volumes, underpinning our scale and strategic importance in India's aviation ecosystem. Adani Airport current quarter results demonstrate continued growth with resilience despite geopolitical headwinds. The international travel operations at our Navi Mumbai Airport have started from July 15, 2026 and will continue to accelerate during the year. These results were led by tariff revisions at our Mumbai Airport, the start of Navi Mumbai operations, and continued momentum in our non-aeronautical revenues. Our non-aero revenues are supported by expansion of non-aero activities across all our airports. If I move to financial and operational performance during Q1, financial year 27, passenger traffic was 24.2 million passengers. Total income was 3,763 crore, which was up 39% year over year. EBITDA increased by 49% year over year to 1,633 crores. Aero and non-aero revenue delivered robust year-over-year growth of 16% and 53% respectively in Q1 financial year 27. We also operationally added 7 new routes and 1 additional flight during Q1 27. With that, I hand over to my colleague Murali.
Thank you, Arun, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adani New Energy Ecosystem is developing an end-to-end integrated ecosystem for manufacturing solar panels and wind equipments. As all of you already know, Adani Solar has featured in the elite list of top 10 global solar panel manufacturer, and Adani Wind became only Indian company in the top 15 global wind turbine manufacturers. I'm happy to inform you that out of our expansion plan of 6 gigawatts, we have commissioned module line of 1.7 gigawatt in the month of June 26. With this, we have now total operational capacity of 5.7 gigawatt of module line and 4 gigawatt of cell line. We are on schedule to commission both module and cell lines to 10 gigawatt by end of this financial year. During this quarter, the domestic module sales have increased 1,340 megawatts, up by 107% year-on-year basis. This demonstrates strong demand of Adani solar modules in the domestic market, also which has fully absorbed the export intake. Reflecting on this strong domestic demand, we have decided to close advance authorizations in imports taken are also making payment of applicable duties during the quarter. Moving on to the financials and operational performance of Q1 FY27, module sales to 1340 megawatts, wind turbine sales to 64 sets, which is up by 83% year on year, total income at rupees 3937 crores and EBITDA rupees 972 crores. With this, I hand over back to Mr. Robi. Thank you.
Thanks, Murali, and thanks, Arun. I'll quickly take you through the remaining segments. On the mining services portfolio, we have 18 mining services agreement with a peak capacity of 145 million tons per annum. We are operating at currently at 55 million tons, which is approximately 38% of the total contracts we have. More importantly, as we continue to bring on new contracts at operational stage, we have taken the total available operating capacity in contracts operational to 93 million tons, thus giving us a good ramp up over the next coming 2 to 3 years. During the quarter, dispatch volume stood at approximately 11.8 million tons, revenue at 1,174 and EBITDA at 421 crore. In the integrated resource management business portfolio, trading volume stood at 8.3 million tons, revenue at 7,000 and EBITDA increased to 894. This is largely due to price realization and the impact of geopolitics. For the first time, we are introducing copper portfolio into our numbers. I will lay out the plan for this. We will have much more detailed presentation on this in our December quarter results, and we will formally do a proper showcase of the copper business post the annual results in March. But as we stand today, our copper sale volume is at 64.7 million tons with the capacity utilization now at 52%. Revenue at 10,922 crore, giving us an EBITDA of 749 crore for the quarter. With this, we are open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please proceed.
Hi. Good evening, sir. And congratulations on the successful raise of money to the QIP. My first question is, has there been a change in the CapEx plan for FY27 and FY28 after this raise of capital?
As I said in my opening comment, absolutely no. We are committed to the CapEx that we outlined at the start of the year, and we are actually tracking to that number very closely, and we will stick to that guideline.
Understood. My second question is, can you help us with expected commissioning of, I think we have now 1 gigawatt of data center. How do you think this ramp up will happen over the next couple of years?
So can we cover this in our investor deck also? It is on page number 15. So we are expecting the capacity ramp up to hit about 500 megawatt over the next three years. And then because most of the post that most will be large, and then every 2 or 3 years, a large addition will occur. So the first large addition will occur in the next 2 to 3 years, will take us from current about 65 to over 470 megawatt operational.
Understood. I think you're talking about the Noyumbai phase two. Are you planning the construction to start in F27 or you think it is slightly longer term?
I'll let Arun answer that question. Arun, please.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
My question was the Noyumbai phase two.
Yes.
Where are we right now? Will the construction start in F27 or F28, or it is a longer, it is something will happen in the long term?
No, the construction will start in this financial year itself. We are in very advanced stage of design work, and the excavation work will start as soon as the monsoon is over this year, this financial year itself.
Understood. My last question, is it possible to share the defense EBITDA in the quarter and the last year? Possible?
No, we are not currently going through that. It's not material at the moment, and we will go through that once we have set up the entire ecosystem, and we'll at appropriate time showcase that business.
Understood. And thank you, all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Congrats for good results. My first question is a bit
top-down. So where do you see your current large businesses as airport, tunnel, or data center is going to be a big business in a few years? Where do you see these businesses going in 5 years' time in terms of size, maybe in case of airport passenger or size of the overall business from the overall company perspective?
I think 5 years is difficult because we don't outline. We have outlined an overall CapEx plan for the portfolio all the way to 2030, 2031. We can share that specifically for AEL, which we have done on the roadshow during the QIP. We can note your question and reshare that for the benefit of everyone, and we can put it up on the website again. But we are at a point where, specifically with the airport, with Arun and team, we are at a point where increasingly the business is on a standalone basis going exceedingly well. And as we have maintained, that we will come to a decision point in relation to rewarding the shareholder of AEL with somewhere around 2028 in terms of this business being demerged. But other than that, directly to your question, we will actually point you to the AEL's offering circular and the roadshow presentation. But we take your question on note, and the team will update and upload the question so that it's available to everyone.
Sure, okay. Certainly bookkeeping questions. What drove the interest expense sharply during this quarter sequentially?
No, that's largely because of the capitalization of large assets. Ganga Expressway, airports. But no specific large-scale change has occurred. If you see the data, I'll point you to the page in our presentation. If you go to page number 25 of the presentation, it will give you the full detail of the current debt stack of the business and the ratios attached to that. So there's no material significant change that has occurred in anyone, unless I'm missing your question and you have some follow-up question detail on this that I'm not able to ascertain from your question.
My question was particularly because you commercialized Navi Mumbai prior quarter, copper was already commercialized. I also thought that Ganga Expressway was also partly commercialized earlier. But 700 crore on a Q-on-Q basis, there is a swing. So that was my question. Also, now are you looking at upwards of 9,000 crore interest expense for the year?
That's largely because as the assets are capitalizing, so the interest payment is coming onto our books. But that is a change of on a consolidated basis, the 1905 becoming 2004, that directly linked to the asset capitalization.
Sure. There's a couple of other questions on your mining services performance was bit muted and in terms of volumes, while trading IRM business EBITDA was very strong. So how are you looking in terms of volumes in these two businesses for FY27?
Mining services will continue as it is. Like I said, we are currently at about 40, just around 49 million tons dispatch. We expect that with the new mine coming online, we expect somewhere between the range of 16-20% growth in the mining services in relation to simply because one new contract's now operational. And in the IRM, we like to caution a little bit in the sense that it's more important to look at the volume. The volume is consistent. The swing that has occurred is largely due to the geopolitics, and it can sustain for a period of time, but that's a volatility induced increase.
Sure. I'll get back to the queue for questions later in the call. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Girish from NS. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I had the first question was on airports. So congrats on very strong non-aero growth, almost 53% for a passenger growth of 4%. Wanted to understand what part of this growth is driven by Navi Mumbai. I understand even strip off that the organic portfolio has done well. If you can highlight some of the key strategies that you guys are focusing on. I understand the digital app is a key part of that strategy. Should we look at similar growth rates continuing for the full year, or how we should think about the full year non-aero revenue growth? Thanks. That's my first question.
Arun,
shall I take? Yeah, no, thanks, Robbie. So you are absolutely right. The non-aero growth to a very large extent is driven by increase in our IPP and also the ATV per passenger. Not so much by Navi Mumbai, because Navi Mumbai is scaling up. As I said, the international flight only started post the closure of Q1 by 15th of July. But we see growth across all non-aero verticals, duty-free, F&B, lease and rentals. And we also started one new line of business, which has started to give meaningful financials in terms of ground handling business from this year, and which will be a recurring business for every quarter for us.
How should we think about the annual number? Like any guesstimate on how the growth could be for the balance part of the year, particularly non-aero?
So non-aero, I mean, of course, it depends on the current geopolitical issue where it has hampered the passenger growth significantly, especially the international passenger. So if the growth comes back in the international passenger to as planned, you should see the similar growth continuing during the year.
Secondly, just on the roads portfolio, I don't see the EBITDA. Maybe I missed it. If you can quantify what's been the EBITDA for the quarter, given that Ganga Expressway has also started.
The roads roads EBITDA is 288, and we expect it to continue to ramp up because Ganga Express is nowhere near close to its capacity at the moment. It's ramping up. We expect the ramp up to continue and stabilize over the next nine months to 12 months.
And my last question is on copper. So very strong and sharp improvement. Any one-offs here, or should we expect this run rate of, let's say, between 750 to 800 crore per quarter going into the balance three quarters of the year as well?
I think I would just like to, whilst we are very happy with the result, but I think, as you understand, it's basically a specific business in relation to its process. So we expect the EBITDA margin on sales, which currently this quarter has been about 7%. Long run, we expect that to be about closer to the 5% range, and we are currently at 52% utilization. So you expect the utilization to head towards 75%. And consequently, with that kind of utilization increase, with the stable quarter on quarter EBITDA, yes, we expect that to remain in this 800 range. But as the capacity ramps up, mathematically the EBITDA will go up. But please be mindful that currently on 10,900, our EBITDA is 749, which is roughly 7%. But in the longer run, we'd expect that number to be about 5%, although the revenue number will be lifting significantly from here as the lines and the ramp up matures.
Thanks, Ravi. I'll fall back in queue.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Manish Somaiya from Cantor. Please proceed. I would request Mr. Manish to unmute and then speak.
Okay. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can, Manish.
Okay, awesome. My apologies. I always have this issue with my phone. Maybe a question for Arun. Obviously, the airport business is growing nicely, very impressive business overall. Is that a milestone that we should be thinking about in terms of breakeven for earnings before taxes type metric? Obviously, we see EBITDA moving much, much higher, obviously, at the depreciation associated with the growth, the startup costs, etc. But how should we think about profit before taxes on a breakeven basis for that business?
I'll take that, Rajesh, in terms of the technical finance part. And obviously, on the business side, Arun can comment. Arun, please feel free to comment when you want to.
Sure.
But just on the Manish, the way we look at the structure of the airport business is that it's a RAB-based business. So the more important thing is what is our RAB regulatory asset base changes, and consequently, what is the RAB income that will occur from the increasing regulatory asset base. So Mumbai has added a lot of regulatory asset base, and we expect our regulatory asset base to rise actually from current 37,000 crore to close to 70,000 crore. So it's a RAB growth, and then consequently the regulatory return permitted. The metrics that we will introduce that as we go through over the next 18 months, which are like the gross spend rate of the consumer. We report that number. Arun mentioned his opening comment as well. Gross spend rate of people visiting at the airport, and we will continue to, as Arun also indicated, that we will introduce a new business segment. We will continue to add and provide clarity on that aspect. On the P&L side, that is your question in relation to P&L side, we will still remain a heavy depreciation business because we are adding so much asset base. So we will start reporting over the next 12 months a cash earnings on the asset base, and consequently, you'll be able to track a number called cash per share of the business. And we will provide that visibility to the market on that. But for the foreseeable future, just given the rapid rollout of the asset base, we will still remain a heavy depreciation business in relation to post-depreciation and PAT number growth and the conversion of that. But on the cash flow conversion to cash per share, we'll bring that out over the next 12 months in a much more clear manner.
Okay, now that that's super helpful.
Arun, would you wish to add anything on the business side if I missed?
No, Robbie, you covered it very well. On the business side, I think the biggest milestone for us in next 3 quarters is to get Navi Mumbai at a operating per quarter of 20 million passengers. So that's where our immediate focus is.
Okay. Thanks, Arun, for that. I did want to touch on Ganga Expressway as well. I was hoping to see more of a profit boost as far as Q1, and also surprised to see revenues at least weaker than what we would have expected, even vis-a-vis year over year. So I'm just trying to find a path to how we can see an improvement going forward. Are we being too optimistic, on our side versus what's happening on the ground? Maybe if you can kind of reconcile that for us, that would be helpful.
No, we are not we're certainly not being optimistic, I can tell you that much. And we are being very cautious in what we are saying. And the reason is that when an asset of that scale, which is actually a trunk asset, is coming online in a major state in India, which is UP, the procedures that they have to go through to approve. So the toll collection only began on 15th of May.
I see.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So that's why, as I said in my opening comment, we expect this to be a massively successful toll road just based on the initial indication. We have ground indications. So I was there actually in Lucknow as well myself. So we've gone through this. We are extremely confident that this will be a massively valuable asset, not just for us, but actually for the state's economic architecture also. This is a trunk road. I would compare this to what the Cross Malaysia Highway did for Malaysia. This is going to do that for UP. It is that critical an infrastructure for Uttar Pradesh. And when you're on the ground, you actually see, already start seeing the impact of this. You're certainly going to get a massive uplift in SME, MSME manufacturing clusters around the defense ecosystem in this area, largely driven by now the connectivity of this road. So we are extremely confident. If you wish to have some specific answers that you believe we are not, or you think we should clarify more, we are happy to take advisement, and we will try to make sure that at least in the next results we lay it out in more detail so it clarifies. If any suggestion is there, please do so. We're happy to clarify. But we are extremely positive about the business overall. And based on the ground reality, that we are going to be, there will be an upside surprise rather than anything else.
No, I think the clarity you offered is helpful. I didn't realize that the toll collection only began May 15th. I had the full quarter in my estimates, so maybe it's where I was off. And of course, I've seen pictures of the highway, and it's super impressive. Congratulations to the team on doing that. It's just absolutely fabulous, and hopefully it works out the way you anticipate. Data center side?
It's actually even better than pictures, Manish. It's actually the contrast is even more stark when you are there, because you see surrounding and then you see this highway.
Right.
You suddenly think you are in first world country when you're on the highway. Obviously, within a second you back in developing country, but nevertheless, once on the highway, you feel like you're in the first world country.
Right. No, I mean, the pictures have been amazing. Just one last question on the data center. I think you talked about the 960 megawatt of tied up capacity, but I guess only a small portion is operational. So how should we think about the CapEx per megawatt or customer funding or prepayments when it comes to developing that?
I think just on the CapEx side of the data center, we will specifically come back to you if you don't mind on the question, but we do expect that we are, if you have to give you a per megawatt, today I can give you the range, but we can obviously clarify that in more precise detail because we do have the information. So we are roughly around, say about 70 to 75 CR per megawatt in terms of construction. And a run rate return, which is US dollar equivalent of approximately 12%. And the ramp up structure, the construction is now moving to the hyperscaler format. So the next construction periods will add bigger chunks to the business. So it's just going through, currently it's going through the sort of the 50, 100 megawatt type additions, but it'll move to few hundred megawatt of additions at each construction cycle, which is roughly about 2.5 years. So in the next 3 years, we expect to add, we'll take this capacity closer to 500. So five times what it is today, more than five times, about seven to eight times what it is operationally today.
Right. Super helpful. Thank you so much. Good luck. And hopefully we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Aditya from Kotak Securities. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the strong set of results. I have two questions from my side. The first one on airports. We've been possibly surprised with you doing much better non-aero per pax for this quarter at about 880 rupees or so. Wanted to check whether there is more headroom available to go beyond the 880 rupees per pax that you reported, which is meaningfully higher than the other listed peers.
Arun, please.
So I will take this. So as I explained, one part of the growth this quarter was ground handling business, which we only started last year post Q2. The second part is, yes, there is still a lot of headroom left for growth in non-aero with three different initiatives. One is, as I said before, the digital initiative. We have started to engage with passenger much before they have come to the airport. Second is engaging with the non-passenger with meters and greeters, which is two and a half times the passenger. And the third is the city side development, which we have started to do and will go live from financial year 29-30. Then within the non-aero business inside the terminal also, we are doing a lot of premiumization with the GDP growth and the aspiration of India. So we believe there is a headroom to increase the ATV for us for transacting passengers inside the airport by giving them better offering. So we are upgrading lounge experience, we are upgrading F&B experience, we are upgrading retail experience to meet the aspiration of young India.
Understood. A related question, the big uptick that is happening in lease and rentals, is it linked to more the retail space getting deployed at your airports, or is it primarily to do with higher footfalls happening?
No, so as I think in the beginning, Robbie said that this quarter, because of unfortunate Middle East crisis and the higher ATF price, the passenger increase was only 4%. But primarily the growth is coming from higher ATV, but also us monetizing what we used to call dark space. So we have increased significantly the retail and F&B space over last 18 months at our airports.
That clarifies. The second question that I had was more on the data center front. Could you give us more color on the 400 megawatt order that you have recently won, and whether with the same customer there is scope to do more work, or whether there is any kind of framework agreement that you may be working towards it?
I mean, this is we can't really add anything more to this because we already publicly shared with you. This is part of the Google contract at YZ. What we are reporting is what is the part of that contract actually executed. There are other parts which will get executed as we go along, but the overall contract is available publicly and available on our website.
No, that's perfect. Thank you for taking the question, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Biplav Debbarma from MK Global. Please proceed.
Hi. Thank you for taking my questions and good evening to everyone. So my questions is first question is on the city side development. Our understanding is they have a huge land parcel in Mumbai as well as Navi Mumbai. And Mumbai being in the city center, it would be more lucrative. So what would be the total in terms of square footage or development potential in this city side? And what do you think would be the capex requirement for this city side development for the next 5 years?
Shall I take Robbie? Yeah.
Yes, thanks. Go.
So phase one, so total land available for us across all eight airports is 660 acres. Phase one, we are only doing 22 million of construction, 22 million square feet of construction, 14.4 million of super built up area across Mumbai, Navi Mumbai, Lucknow, Jaipur and Ahmedabad. That will go live 29-30. And the phase one capex we have committed is around 20,000 crore for that.
That 20,000 crore will be for how many years? That will be
for phase one of this 22 million super built-up area, 14 million construction area, and 14.4 million retail space available.
So I mean, in how many years this capex?
This phase one will be completed by 2029-30.
Okay, 2029-30. Okay. And this entire development, how would it work? You will give it to some real estate player, or your airport AHL would itself develop it? I mean, or would you give it to some developer? You will say just take the lease rental.
Phase one, we are doing it within the integrated development. This is a mixed use integrated development, which will consist of hotel, retail, F&B, entertainment zone, high-end offices. And this will be done under AHL, but of course the construction will be done by the DNC partners.
Okay. And what kind of rental or EBITDA do you think this development expected to generate? Ballpark would be fine.
We will cover that once we are ready to disclose as we start moving with the rental retail mix contracts, because we don't want to be highlighting that level of work that would become very difficult for us to maintain particular disclosure standards.
And just one final question. Have you commenced the work for this Cityside development?
Arun, please.
Sorry, I didn't get it fully. Sorry, can you please repeat?
We
started the work on Cityside development.
Yeah. Yes, we have started the... Mumbai, Navi Mumbai, Lucknow, Jaipur, Guwahati and Ahmedabad. Four places, active construction going on. Ahmedabad, Mumbai, Navi Mumbai and Lucknow, Jaipur and Guwahati, we will start post-monsoon.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Karthik Kohli from Kotak Securities. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just one quick question, and I wanted to understand. So when we look at your segmental breakup that you've given versus the reported numbers on BSC, there's a, EBITDA including other income that is left is about 972 crores for this quarter. And this number was about 560 crores, in the base quarter. So can you talk more about what is driving this change? What are the key businesses? We understand this is a lot to do with defense, bunkering, all of those things. What is driving this uptake? Because now the other segment itself is bigger than, copper and mining services. So just wanted to understand how this is panning out. What is the key business drivers here? And can we get to see disclosures on these accounts over the next few quarters? That will be my only question.
I think, where are you getting the others EBITDA that you are saying? Because we don't
seem to... I was just comparing the numbers that is given in the presentation for each of the segments, airports, ANIL, IRM, mining services and copper. I'm comparing those with the overall numbers that are given on BSC for the consolidated AEL. So there I get the overall EBITDA including other income at 5,641 crores.
I get the question. So in the others is included commercial mining, which is 372 of the number, roads, which is 288 of the number. So 600 of that number is just these two businesses. And then a chunk of that is also a significant chunk of that is what the remainder is also defense business as well. So the majority of it, the number is covered by these two business, commercial mining and roads itself.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Girish from MS. Please proceed.
Thanks for the follow-up. Couple of questions. Firstly, on defense,
the subsidiary had up, I think, last year done revenues of 2,500-2,600 crores. I wanted to understand how should we think about the order book right now that the company has, and in terms of growth outlook for the year or for the next 2 years, how should we think about the growth in that business and capex for that business?
I think your numbers you're referring to, Girish, which we mentioned out in the QIP and QIP roadshow and presentations. What we are planning to do, Girish, is that sometimes about September next year, we'll be in a position to lay out the proper strategy and the business update. And we are planning that post September next year, in November, we have the overall defense strategy showcase. So to provide the clear visibility, but what I can say to you is that this, that the growth that we have exhibited, we are tracking to that, and we expect this to be a business of sufficient importance that it will come into our segmental reporting over the next 18 months.
Okay. Just a follow-up on data centers. So obviously at 70 crore capex per megawatt, how should we think about funding on the debt side? Typically, infra projects go up to 70-80%, so should we assume that? And what could be the typical interest coupon and financing? Will it be like a debt funding with like long tenure? If you can talk a little bit on that, and with hyperscalers being your customers, is there a possibility of some dollar funds also being spoken about, because you spoke about dollar return?
Girish, the way we set this up, we were one of the first ones to, in India at least, or in Asia as well, to look at it not as property finance but as project finance. So we got this originally set up in the manner that more consistent with infra projects, given that we wanted to have a service and energy model locked in together with our final users of the data center. So we are looking at a more traditional infra type funding, and we are looking that this business will track close to investment grade. So the coupon expectations will be in line with the investment grade debt. The tenor and terms of this, once we reach a point where we're looking to put the long dated paper out, you are looking closer to, we'd like to maintain a duration in this business of say around 7 years, which is about, from an underlying contract life perspective, say, we have good reasonable visibility over 10 years. So we will, from that point of view, we'll track the duration in line with our overall portfolio duration, but could be slightly less. So you the benchmark would be a long 5 investment grade bond on a sustainable basis.
Understood. And just in terms of data centers again, Adani Group has been able to scale up this portfolio in terms of contracted capacity quite meaningfully in the last 12 months. Probably regionally in the region, Asia region also, you would be amongst the fastest growing. Wanted to understand what do you think is very different in terms of the offerings that Adani Group brings to the table? Or is it also a little bit on the pricing side, which allows a Google to kind of take or any hyperscaler to take a decision? And just a risk, because I was getting a lot of questions on this, on execution, when we're thinking 3 to 5 years, a lot of the equipment could also be import dependent. How are you planning right now as you keep scaling up this business from a 3 to 5 year perspective, certain import equipment requirements that could come through?
I think this is an excellent question. I think I'm glad that you brought this up. It will just clarify a couple of things. We should have addressed this ourselves. But nevertheless, now you have the question, so we'll answer. I think the way you will see that we made the announcement that we've agreed a JV with Jabin. So that addresses the question of us being able to provide the stack capability to the final client. So to eliminate that risk. So we will be able to provide at least the physical build out of physical stack. Now there's within the stack you'll have the GPU, which the final client already has. So that's that part. And we'll continue to embed ourselves deeper in this infrastructure chain of this area. But that's not from data center point of view, but there's overall stack that is required for the AI world that is coming. So that's being done from that basis. It helps the business. Second part is that why we are able to grow faster is that we have a very large utility platform that can accept some level of merchant risk. And because we can provide the energy solution, because something, the thing that is stopping the fast ramp up is the being able to tie up the energy equation. In the US, obviously the data center and hyperscales have gone on the mechanism, they're building it out themselves. But here we can offer them that facility. And that is what is more attractive to them than anything else. So our pricing and everything is broadly the same as general market in the region. But the unique defining feature is we are in the private sector, India's largest utility platform. And end-to-end, we are the only utility platform of that, including the government. So consequently, we are able to offer a utility-level solution in relation to their energy requirement. And that part is the defining difference. And we are, as we are adding services like JV with Jabil and our capacity to bring in the ecosystem, which is common in the US and common in Europe, common in China, we are able to bring, we will bring that ecosystem in India also. And that helps us to de-risk some of the construction and development activity.
Understood. Just one small typo. I think in the presentation, we've written 2 gigawatt by 2030. I believe the chairman in the AGM spoke about the portfolio being now 3 gigawatt. I know it's an evolving number, but just wanted to highlight that. Thanks.
Thank you for that. We will clarify. Actually, it's a good pickup. Its number is 3 gigawatt.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal. Please proceed.
Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Just had one question specifically on data center. When we say operational capacity and when we are also giving tied up capacity, so typically how much time it should take for some of those tied up capacity to get operational? That is question one. And second question is related to that would we see a case where our realization per megawatt would also increase as the mix improves to more of hyperscalers? So yeah, this would be the questions. Thank you.
I think the second question first, these are discrete steps driven by business case. So the scale itself for hyperscales don't change the yield metrics because it's driven by the specific business cases they have for the requirement they have. So from their point of view also, they want to go through a specific set. So there's no that, okay, if we got hyperscaler and scaling up and the yield's going. No, it will depend on business case. Overall, the economics are very good. So we are confident of that. To your first question, roughly speaking, construction and development is about 2.5 years, then 2.5 years. Then you have the take-up of the stacks by the scalers themselves, which is also, say, another 18 months. So roughly speaking, from the capacity contracting to fully ramping up at that contract, you can say about 40 months to 48 months.
Got it. So when we are giving 2030 target, that's for the tied up capacity maybe.
Correct.
Okay. So any sense or indication that by that time what would be the kind of the operational capacity or any ballpark number there? Because the revenue and EBITDA will be more linked to the operational capacity from that perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We expect that we will add in the next 2.5 years, roughly about 400 megawatts or slightly higher than that.
Got it. Got it. Just one last thing, on the roads portfolio, what would be the invested equity as of the end of the first quarter? If you can highlight on that number.
Do you mind if we come back on that and we take that?
Sure.
Put it as.
Sure, no problem.
Back on the website.
No problem. No problem. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Aditya from Kotak Securities. Please proceed.
Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. Just a clarification over here, as in, while the company has clarified that on airlines there is no plan of theirs, there are news flows that are still coming about suggesting that Adani Group had asked for permission to launch an airline in June. Could you just clarify how to read these statements here for investors in general?
I will answer that for you. I think more than airlines, we should get into newspaper business because, you know, so many newspapers get money from us. Okay, now, it's almost like watching a poor version of Dhurandhar again and again. So it's just rumors. We always evaluate. See, when the next round of airports comes, there will be regional airports. Okay, the current ability to support an airline business is up to 5% equity. Okay, we put a letter to in which you have seen, and that is to we want to see as owners of airports and regional airports, hopefully in the future, that India's regional airline system also develops and develops properly. So in that context, not starting an airline or driving, but to be able to support a development of an airline for the regional connectivity is our interest. Okay. Now, so and that what we have clarified. So AEL has no interest in airlines, and we clarified that. We are focused on our airports business and build rollout of that infrastructure. That's a separate thing that we want to be participant in. We want to be able to advocate in an industry as an interested actor in that industry to see the development of regional India. And I think we should see it in that context, not in the rumor mill and desktop type analysis that go on or lack of analysis that goes on in our newspapers and TV channels. Because just our name sells, so they just attach our name and just run with absolute rubbish. And I cannot be more clear with these words. It is that Arun runs a business which is one of the leading businesses in the country in airports. We will likely have regional airports. We already have some of the regional airports. It's our interest to see the development of the regional transportation infrastructure. And if we try to advocate for something that we'd like to support that infrastructure in some way, it doesn't mean that we start running an airline. And people just read that as some sort of an immediate action. It's not an immediate action. It is our interest as an actor in transport and logistics, ports, roads, airports, to make sure that the regional connectivity, regional economy develops properly. And it's really sad reflection on the state of our media that rather than looking at the positive of what we are trying to do for regional India, they come up with this cockamamie scheme of airlines, this, that, other. We are doing the same thing for road networks. We are doing the same thing at ports. We are doing things for internal logistics. You know, is all of that tomorrow we'll become Zomato? No. We are interested in internal logistics. And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality.
Here's on that count. Just a bookkeeping question, if you could give us the WTG businesses revenue and EBITDA for the quarter.
Muli will take this question. Muli.
Yeah, so WTG, the revenue was 866 crores and the EBITDA was 185 crores for the quarter.
Understood. Thank you for your responses. And that will be all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much to MK Global team for organizing this call for us. I also like to take this opportunity to thank our fellow, my colleagues, Arun, CEO of Airpost Business, Murli, CEO of Solar, New Industries Business, and Manan and team. And once again, thank you very much for your participation and thank you for the questions.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.